Directing your attention tonight to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter. While you're turning to Mark chapter 2, I want to say I never thought I'd be preaching to my home church from my home. And I was thinking about this as we were approaching this service. And the thought come to me, I guess times like this give extra meaning to home church. And so we are having church at home with our home church. And we do appreciate the presence of the Lord that has met with us. I'm going to begin reading in Mark the second chapter and verse number 1. This is a very familiar setting of scripture. I love reading about the ministry of Jesus Christ. I love reading about his miracles. We know that Jesus is still alive and well, and he's still a miracle worker. And I want to challenge our faith tonight. If you have a need, God can meet your need in this service. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of Mark chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Notice verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all. Notice again, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw anything like this before. I know we have read this miracle many times, and we've heard it preached from many times. I have ministered from this setting of scripture, I'm sure, multiple times. And in prayer today, the Lord burdened my heart very strongly with what I will endeavor to bring to our church. And again, any guests that are listening in this evening, I want to focus our attention to verse number 5. This is our primary focus, is where we will get our thought from tonight. Verse number 5 of Mark 2, when Jesus saw their faith. Everyone say their faith. When Jesus saw the faith of those men that went to so much effort to get this man into the presence of the Lord. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to minister the word of the Lord tonight from this familiar story on this subject, the faith of a friend. The faith of a friend. Amen. If you're standing, you may be seated. as we get into the word of the Lord tonight. There are some things that I want to look at initially here and take a look at the first few verses here of Mark, the second chapter. The Bible says, as we read just a few moments ago in verse 1, that again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. I want to focus tonight on the fact that there was something to be noised abroad. It was noised. It was broadcasted. It was announced. Word spread. Jesus is in the house. Now, it appears that it was just a place of residence, like we are probably, with rare exception. We're all in a place of residence right now. We're in our home or somebody else's home. We're in a house. And it was noised that Jesus was in that house. We know that everything else about this miracle hinged on the fact that Jesus was in the house. None of these other things that we read about, and these things that I will endeavor to minister about here shortly, none of these things would have been possible had Jesus not been present. We understand that we can't have the church, or we cannot be the church that we have been called to be, without Jesus being in the house. At the outset of this message tonight, I want to challenge Tulsa Lighthouse Church. I know this is a passion of our church, and I appreciate it so very much, but I never want to allow it to be said of our church that Jesus being in the house is not of utmost importance to us. Never let it be said of Tulsa Lighthouse Church that it's okay just to come to church and just to pray our prayers and sing our songs and read our scriptures and preach our sermons and just go through our motions and be Pentecostal. We have been called beyond Pentecost, if you will. We have been called to be apostolic, to carry on in the tradition, the apostolic tradition of the book of Acts, and to press for these things and to believe God for these great and mighty things that God has done before, and we are so thankful for what God is doing in our church. And we know that he which hath begun the work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He which hath begun will complete. And there are some marvelous things that God has promised. God has begun. God has spoken. As I talk about these things, and as I mention these things, this my heart is overcome and overwhelmed with desire and passion, with gratitude. Thank God for the opportunity to be a part of a real apostolic church. Thank God. Church family, we ought to be thankful that it can be said of Tulsa Lighthouse Church, Jesus is in the house. I feel his presence in my home right now. And I trust that as I'm ministering the word of the Lord, I'm making a big deal. And I make no apologies for this. I'm making a big deal about the presence of the Lord. Making a big deal about Jesus being in our services. Again, not just through our tradition, but through our focused passion. We want to attract the presence of the Lord, a strong presence of the Lord in our services is of utmost importance. Amen. Amen. Verse number 2, Bible says that there were many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. A full house is a byproduct of Jesus being in the house. And I know, again, I'm touching on some very important things to the Tulsa Lighthouse Church family. We want the presence of the Lord in our services. We want it to be evident that this is not just another church. This is not just another service. And we are very concerned about our place of worship being filled to capacity. I want to encourage again the church family tonight that Jesus being in the house is a vital part of the house being filled. I'm confident that if we have service after service after service, if it's just understood by anyone who has ever been or those that attend regularly, Jesus is in the house. There will be people that come to participate in that service. There will be people that will show up to see what Jesus is going to do in that service. There is no substitute, number one, for his presence. We must have the presence of the Lord. And then when the house was filled and it was noise that he was there and people began to gather and it was beyond standing room only, there was no room to even get into the house. The Bible declares that Jesus preached the word unto them. Secondly, there is no substitute for the preaching of the word. Thank God we make a big deal about preaching at Tulsa Lighthouse Church. Bible says that we have been begotten by the word of the Lord. It declares that God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you are more than just a believer in proclamation, but you are a true believer, when the word of God goes forth, you will mix the word of God with faith. You will receive it into your heart and act according to the desire that God manifests and reveals to your heart through the preaching of his word. When the crowd was there, when the house was filled, Jesus preached the word unto them. Now the story takes a bit of a turn here in verse number 3. And the Bible says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried afore. And so this man that the Bible declares his condition was that he was sick of the palsy. And he was carried by 4 men. Now, again, there's a lot of details that would be nice to know if we had our preference. Some between the lines could be filled out here, and we would know some more of the details. Were all 4 of these men acquaintances of this man in need, or was it just one man? We don't know. But we do know that this man had a need. And somehow or another, these men determined we've got to get this man to Jesus. I want you to notice how the Bible states this. It did not say they come to the house. The Bible says they come unto him. They're a purpose that day. Now, this is of vital and crucial importance that we get this tonight. Their purpose was not just to get that man in the house, but their purpose was to get this man to Jesus. Their primary focus was getting this man in the presence of the Lord. Now, let's understand this tonight. It's obvious this man did not want to be in the condition he was in. Nobody wants to have a need. Nobody wants to have to depend on those around them for their transportation or for their needs to be met. This man did not want to be sick of the palsy. And not only that, but he could not do anything about it. I don't know if there is a more helpless feeling than to not want a particular situation or condition and not be able to do anything about it. Want to be able to change it, but not be able to. Those of you that are listening in tonight and your parents, if you've ever had a child that was sick or in a desperate need, some type of emergency situation, my mind goes back to when I was a child growing up in the home, and a great storm come through our town when I was 11 or 12 years old, tornado as a matter of fact, and did tremendous damage to the little town that I grew up in. And I remember, and I don't think about this that often. Some of you have heard me reference this in the past, I'm sure. But I remember my dad saying later that he never felt more hopeless in his life, knowing that his family's life and safety, health was in jeopardy as that tornado ripped through our town and tore the roof off our house and debris coming in and windows imploding and all the chaos that tornado brought to our home during that awful night. And Dad witnessing all of this and not being able to do anything about it. So what a helpless feeling to want to be able to change a situation and not being able to. And not wanting this sickness, but not being able to do anything about it. Not wanting to have to be so dependent upon others, but not being able to do one thing about it. Now, let me say this before we go any further. If desire, those that are in need, if their desire to be different, their desire to be healed, their desire to be changed, if that was all it took was a desire for someone that had a need for that need to be met, there would be a lot more miracles that we could talk about. And as far as that goes, if all it took was God's desire to meet the need, there would be a lot more miracles. But I want us to notice some places in Scripture here while we're on this subject. I remind you of the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. And this was a place where miracles happened. The Bible says that at a certain season, an angel would come down and trouble the water, and whoever got in first would be healed of whatever was wrong with them. Jesus was walking the steps of this place one day, and he finds this man, and he'd been in this condition for many, many years. And he says to this man, "Wilt thou be made whole? Will you be made whole?" I want you to remember now and notice this man's response. This man replies to this question. This was his answer. "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He says, I'm doing all I can do, but it's not enough. I don't want to be in this condition that I'm in. And if wanting to change was all it took, I'd been changed a long time ago. If wanting to be healed was all it took, I'd have been healed a long time ago. But notice this man's approach. "I don't have anybody to help me get my miracle. I don't have anybody to help me get to that place where miracles happen. I know where miracles happen. I know how miracles happen. I know heaven comes down and everything has changed. And there's nothing I want more in this world than that to happen to me. But I need some help for that to be my experience. I'll remind you also of the lame man at the gate, beautiful. This man in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John, as they were passing by, they stopped and said, look on us. The Bible said this man gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. We know how Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But the backstory of this is that this man was lame. He was crippled. He could not walk. He was immobile. The Bible said every day he had somebody that carried him and laid him at the gate of the temple. He got just as close to the things of God as he could get. And somebody had to help him get there. And so again, I want to reemphasize tonight that the purpose, the passion, the focus, the desire of these men concerning this man that had this great need was they were coming to Jesus. It was not to necessarily a physical address. It didn't matter where the house was, who owned the house, how far across town it might have been. It wasn't necessarily where they were going. It was who they were going to. And my, what a difference it makes when you come to the house of the Lord and you're not just going to a building, but you're going to a presence. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. And it's worth whatever effort I've got to go to get there. Now, again, verse number 4, emphasizes again how many people that were there. And the Bible said they could not come nigh unto him for the press. They couldn't get to Jesus because there were so many people in the house. Now, the Bible says that when this was realized, when they realized there's no way we can get this man to Jesus by ordinary means, well, then we're going to go to extraordinary means. Bible said that when they could not get close to him because of all the people, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken up the roof, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. It seems rather obvious to me that these men had a conviction about getting this man to Jesus. The church family here, Brother Waldrop, tonight, whatever means is necessary. I want to emphasize this so strongly tonight that it gets down into the very soul of our being. We're not just wanting to get people to the service. We want to get people to Jesus. And I know a lot of times a lot of effort is gone to arrange a ride or to make a phone call or to offer to go pick somebody up and all the behind the scenes and everything that it takes to get somebody to just come to a service. But our focus and our passion need not stop with just getting them in the house. But again, we're bringing people to Jesus. And we want Jesus to be there and we want something special. We want a special presence of the Lord to be in the house when people come so that a miracle can happen in their life. And so they uncovered the roof, and when they broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They were not easily distracted. They were not easily discouraged, easily dissuaded. They were willing to be inconvenienced and perhaps even misunderstood. They wanted this man to get what he needed from God so bad. Whatever I've got to do to help it happen, I'm going to do it. If I've got to go to extraordinary effort, I'm going to go to extraordinary effort. If I've got to sacrifice, I'm going to sacrifice. I know things like this. It's one thing to say and something else to do. And I know it's easier said than done. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And as I'm preaching about a passion to not just get people in the house, but get them to Jesus, not to a physical address, but a spiritual and a supernatural experience. Amen. As I'm preaching this, I'm praying that faith would arise in the heart of our church family. And again, I feel a burden right now for somebody, perhaps, that if you've not experienced the fullness of everything that God has declared for you in his word, that you would get a conviction, that you would have a desire to do more than just go to a church building, to experience more than the nominal religion. But I'm going to find Jesus. I'm going to find the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to do whatever's necessary to get somebody that has a need in the presence of the Lord. Oh my, I feel faith rising in my heart right now. I feel a burden for somebody listening right now. I know this is a little bit different, but if you have a need, while I'm preaching the word of the Lord, while I'm preaching about his presence can come. And while I'm preaching about a miracle that happened to somebody else, a miracle can happen to you. Let faith arise in your heart as the word of God goes forth. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let the hand of God come into that kitchen, come into that living room, come into that bedroom, come into your vehicle, wherever you're listening from. Lord, I've got a need. Lord, and I know you're the only one that can meet that need. And Lord, your word declares that your presence makes all the difference. And I believe the word of God that's being preached. And I believe that if I can get into your presence, my need can be met. God, we have a need in our home. We have a need in our family. Oh, God, we're not just listening in, but God, we are tuning our spirits, not just our ears. We're tuning our hearts, oh, God, to your word and to your presence tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Yeah, verse number 5. I want to hasten along here and not try to be very much longer. The Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, this is my burden tonight. Again, maybe just one of them was a friend, maybe all four, I don't know. But somebody was the catalyst. Somebody took the initiative. Thank God this man knew somebody that could do something to make it possible to get him to Jesus. Again, it didn't matter how bad this man wanted it for himself. He couldn't do anything about it. He had to have some help. Tulsa Lighthouse Church, there are scores, if not hundreds of people, I believe that we know that don't want things as they are in their life right now. I believe many of them knows that it's going to take a miracle of God for their life and their station of life and their spiritual status to change. They know that only God can fix what's wrong with them. They want it to be different. And they know that God can make the difference. But that's as far as it goes with them. Many of them feel like there's nothing else I can do. And for some of them, that's certainly the case. They don't have what it takes by themselves to get it done. They're so bound. They're so tormented. They're so afflicted. They're so influenced and affected by what's wrong with them that if they're ever going to get a miracle, they're going to need a friend that'll step up and say, I'm going to make the difference. I'm going to take up the slack. I'm going to make up the hedge. Hey, man, I'm going to carry you. I'm going to do what I can to get you into the presence of the Lord. Again, it wasn't the man that had the need. It was not his faith. Some would say maybe he was just along for the ride. I think it was more involved than that. I think this man was fully engaged. He was doing everything he could. He was a more than willing participant. Oh, I want a miracle. And this man called Jesus can fix me. Get me to him. I'll hang on for dear life. Whatever you guys have to do to get me to Jesus, just get me to Jesus. I believe that's the heartbeat. That's the passion of so many souls that are connected with Tulsa Lighthouse Church. Whatever you got to do to get me to Jesus, get me there. I want what he has to offer, but I can't get there by myself. And when Jesus, let me say it this way, when Jesus saw the faith of a friend, when he saw the effort that somebody, they weren't the one in need, but they were concerned about the one in need, and they put forth the effort. They went to the trouble, if you will. They put forth the energy to see and help this miracle happen when he saw their faith. When he saw the faith of a friend, he said to the one in need, thy sins be forgiven. Amen. The faith of a friend, your faith for the need of a friend in need can make all the difference for that one that needs a miracle. I'm certainly not taking away from the importance of personal desire of the one in need, but it just appears again in this story and in others that I've alluded to, it appears that there are times when there's more necessary than just personal desire. There's got to be somebody that has the ability, that has the wherewithal, that has the connection, that has the faith to get them into the presence of the Lord to step up and help these things happen. Amen. Amen. The matter that means the most is your salvation. Again, if you're listening in and you've never obeyed the gospel, amen. Maybe you've done all that you know to do, but you've not fully repented of your sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, received the glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by the speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Just like it happened in the Bible. If that has not been your experience, don't stop your pursuit. Please don't be satisfied where you are. The most important thing in your life is your soul being saved. Notice this man was sick of the palsy. He could not walk. He could not move. He was bedridden. He was bedfast. He was carried by four men. And when Jesus opened up his mouth to speak to this man that had an obvious physical need, he spoke to his spiritual need first. Thy sins be forgiven. There were those there as I close tonight that were offended. They did not understand. They were so critical. Who does this man think he is? Who can forgive sins but God only? That's exactly what was happening. God was forgiving sins because we know that's who Jesus is. He is God manifest in the flesh. And he knew their reasonings, and he says, what's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you'll know that I have power to forgive sins, I'll say also, take up your bed and go thy way into thine house. And when Jesus spoke those miracle words, a miracle happened, and immediately he arose, verse 12 of Mark 2, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I want to close tonight by reminding our church tonight that the effort that these men put forth to get this man to Jesus allowed more than the one in need to be impacted. Everyone in the house, everyone in that service, if you please, everyone that was there that day was affected and impacted by what happened. Amen. Thank God Jesus was there. That's where it all begins. But somebody did something with Jesus being there. And because of the faith of a friend, because somebody was concerned about somebody that had a need, and they put forth some extra effort to help a miracle happen, more than that miracle happened that day, There was more that happened in that house than that man getting up off his bed. But there were some folks there that day whose eyes were opened. Amen. Amen. There were some people there that perhaps come just to see the show, just to take it all in and just kind of look around and observe. And they had to confess, I never saw anything like this before. It was because the faith of a friend. As I close tonight, I'm challenging Tulsa Lighthouse Church family to purpose in your heart to get someone to Jesus this Sunday. Do your best to get someone in need in the house. But again, let's take it a step further. Let's do more than get them on the property. Let's do more than get them at 1541 West 71st Street, Tulsa. Let's do more than get them in the building, but let's get them in his presence. God promises that when we do our part, he will certainly do his. I'm challenging all of us. Amen. Let's get a burden. I'm convinced right now. I feel again what I felt earlier today in prayer as I was feeling the burden of this message, that there would be names and faces as I preached about somebody in need and about being a friend and the faith of a friend. And as I began to get to this part of the message, that names and faces would start coming to people in our church family. I think it would be right. I think it would be right. Before I turn this to Pastor Howard, that we would do something with this burden, that we would call those names, that we would see those faces, that we would shed some tears tonight for a friend that has a need, that they don't have what it takes by themselves to get what they need, but they need some help, and I can give the help that they need. I know without a doubt that it's the will of God for there to be a full house to hear the word preached. I know that it's the will of God for sins to be forgiven and for there to be a miraculous demonstration. I know that we can't just make these things happen, but I'm convinced and I'm persuaded that we can help these things happen. Amen. Somebody had a friend that helped a miracle happen. Amen. Would you pray right now? Let's call upon the name of the Lord. God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would move, that you would work. Oh, God, thank you for your presence in our homes tonight. God, I'm praying that special anointing and grace and favor would come upon this part of this midweek service. God, we long to be in your house. Here we are in our homes, but we still feel your presence. Lord, we receive the word of the Lord. We receive it with meekness, God, and gratitude. Oh, God. Lord, we call these names tonight. We see these faces. God, I pray that you would give us the grace, give us the wisdom, the understanding. Lord, certainly right now we feel the burden. We feel the desire. We want to do right by it. God, we want to get these people to you, knowing, God, that they really want to change. Knowing, oh God, that they desire your presence. They desire your hand. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's pray, church, let's pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's turn our homes into a place of prayer right now. We want to get somebody to Jesus. We want to have the faith of a friend. Hallelujah. Lord, bless you in Jesus' name.